How many of you ever know what a real bad day is? See, he don't know. He said a what? Compared to what? How many of you, and we're going to talk about Paul this morning, how many of you would have really enjoyed Paul's life? How many of you being in prison could write, rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice? Well, let's take a peek. Philippians chapter 1. And I'm not trying to put a hamper on your football game this afternoon, but I want us to look at some things that are real. I've looked at Paul's life and read Paul's letters over and over and over and over. You know what I didn't find? I didn't find him complaining about his lifestyle. I didn't hear him saying, I wish I'd never been born. I did hear him say that so-and-so has abandoned me, but I never heard him talk about personal fear and personal things going on and personal emotional crisis. But I did hear him talk about my life is found in Christ. My life is found in Christ. And so as we look at this today, I just want us to look at something. Because no matter what we think, there will be people who take some pot shots at you. There will be people who don't believe your testimony. There will be people who will try to bring you down. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And so we need to be spiritually ready because Satan is really good at blindsiding you and doing some sneak attacks and doing some things where we look at our lives and we say, boy, I wasn't prepared for that. Are you having fun? If you want to exercise, you can go to the gym. But look at, and I'm just going to, I got a lot of verses, but I'm not going to do it all today. Maybe I'll do part of it next Sunday. But chapter 1, verse number 12. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance or the advancement of the gospel. The things that have happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance or the advancement of the gospel. Now let me tell you of something Paul didn't have. Paul didn't have a victim mentality. Paul didn't have an attitude that everybody hated him. But Paul understood what he was going through at that moment was normal for people who professed to be Christians. So the threats, the rejection, the lies, the things coming against you are normal. I heard Rick Godwin, long time ago, Rick Godwin was pretty popular speaker. He said he went to this place and the people told him, the witches are praying against us. And he looked at them and said, what do you want them to do, send you flowers? So Paul went through some things and he looked at the people that he was writing to in Philippi and said, this has turned out to advance the gospel. Let's look at it a little closer. And we've told you this before. If you were chained to Paul, who'd be the real captive? He says, I had, you know, basically he had four guards he was chained to, but who had who captive? If you didn't want to hear about Jesus, you were in trouble. In fact, is he kind of insinuates here that everybody that came around him got saved. When we were pastoring in Virginia years ago, a long time ago now, one of the first services we had, one of the guys came up, his name was Bob, and he needed really to accept Christ. He says, he looked at me, he said, Pastor, I had these people come to my house, and he said, they stayed after midnight, and they were preaching, and finally I said, okay, I'll do whatever it takes, have you leave. And so he said, I prayed, but I didn't mean any of it. Now I'm ready to pray. And so Paul wasn't going anywhere, and he had a group of guards that he was preaching to, constantly praying for, singing, worshiping God. Now let's look at something. Whether or not we understand it or not, or we want to think about it or not, whatever we're going through and how we go through it, somebody's watching. Hello. And what I'm going through is going to affect, and the way I go through it is going to affect how they respond to my life in Christ. Paul understood this. Paul came to a place where he endured. In fact, at one place he says, most gladly I'll rejoice in my infirmities and my weaknesses. Because when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Paul's mind, his vision, was not about escaping out of here. Paul's mind and vision was going through whatever he had to go through, because whatever he had to go through, it involved people. And people saw Christ in him as he was going through. Turn back with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Kind of interesting. Verse number 23, and Paul just gives a little discourse of what he went through. In verse number 23, he asks a question, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In stripes, above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes minus one. How many is that? 39. 5 times I received 39 stripes. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Didn't mean he was drunk. Three times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day I have been in the deep, or I've been in the ocean. in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, toil, and sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst and fasting often, in cold and nakedness. Why? Because he put his faith in Jesus Christ. He put his faith in Christ. He walked with God. He listened to God. He did what God told him. Please, don't stop doing what God tells you to do because you're afraid of people's reactions. Hello? As I said earlier, 60% of the religious crimes that happen in America are not against Muslims. It's against Christians. I heard that from what I hope may be a future president, but from Mr. Huckabee. I heard him say that the other night, and I sat there kind of spellbound because I didn't realize that. And so as we walk in this world, as we live in this world, as we live for Christ in America in 2015, there are going to be people who don't like you because they don't like Jesus. And there are times you have to look at it and say, they just have bad taste. Hello? And what are they going to do? They're going to try to do everything in their mind because they are anointed by the devil to tear you down. And you know something? We all get hurt. Hello? Anybody know what I'm talking about? It hurts. And so what do we do? We just learn that we need to trust Jesus, be led by the Holy Spirit, and don't say any more than he tells us to say. You say, what do you mean? You're telling me to shut up? No. There's other people out there who will listen to you. There is no one on this earth that God has made your project. Hello? When we make people our project, we begin to go beyond where God wants us to go. Amen or oh me? Amen. And so we love people, we work with people, we minister to people, but if they reject you, you don't have to keep knocking on the door to get beat up. Is that too hard? Some of you work with people that don't like you. You don't have to quit your job. You just need to love them. You don't have to defend your gospel. Don't defend the gospel, demonstrate the gospel.
That's right. Amen.
Did you hear?
Yes.
Because too often we want to defend everything that God has given us, and we want to convince them that by defending it, we're right. By defending it, we just start another argument. How many were in debate in school? You're not in debate over God. Unless you're Ravi Zacharias. And we'll let him handle that. I I read something in my daily devotions the other day, and I've been working on this for a couple weeks. It may sound like I worked on it for about 5 minutes, but Paul wrote something that we don't like. And I didn't like it. And I've read it time after time after time and time. Everyone who lives godly will be blessed abundantly. Hello? Everyone who lives godly will suffer persecution. It's there. Jesus said, because they hated me, they'll love you?
Nope.
How'd that go? If they hated me, they're going to hate you. And people, to stay solid, to stand strong, to live in the blessings of the Holy Spirit, we just need to learn that there are people who won't like us because of our faith. Do you know why? Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 that to some people were the aroma of death, and to some people were the aroma of life. Why don't you think about that? People who are not living for God, you magnify in their spiritual nostrils the death they're living in. And to people who are living for Jesus, you magnify the beautiful fragrance of love. Right. Defending the gospel will lead to arguments, but demonstrating the gospel will lead to the Holy Spirit bringing conviction in the lives of unbelievers. There will be people that have walked away from you, that turn their back on you, that are living in the world, living for the devil, who will someday come to you and ask you to pray for them. They'll come because of the life and the attitude that they saw in you, and the gospel has been advanced because you didn't seek revenge, you didn't seek to get even, you didn't seek to be and stoop to that level. You just walked out your life in Christ. And you know something? What an amazing feeling when that happens. Do you want good feelings? Walk in Jesus. Walk in Jesus. It's kind of amazing as you look at the life of Christ. He spent 3.5 years living amongst people, his closed 12 group, knowing that 11 would abandon him. I want you to think about that. He spent 3.5 years, listen to me, investing his life into people who wouldn't really understand and who really wouldn't recognize and wouldn't really get it until after he was crucified. And yet he loved them. He invested his life in them. He gave it to them. Now there are people out there who won't let you do that. You don't ever have to kick a door down. Hello? God will set the open door, and God will open the door as the time is right, but we need to be prepared to walk through it. Are we okay?
Yeah.
And you know something? It's wonderful. It's wonderful to know that somebody said this about me, or somebody did something to me, or somebody wanted to bring me down or you down, and we responded the same way that Christ would. Paul had that happen. Look at the jailer in the book of Acts as all had Paul had done was cast a demon out of a demon-possessed fortune-telling girl. Thrown in prison, beaten, locked, chained. God sends an earthquake. They're free. The jailer's about to do what? He's about to kill himself. And Paul said, don't do yourself any harm. We're still here. And the jailer who was guarding them came to Christ with his family. Be prepared just to live. Be prepared. Not about what I think about people or what people are doing to me, but I am here to demonstrate the gospel of Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. And no matter what people are saying about me or doing to me or lying about me or threatening me or even slapping me. We had a young man in our church in Virginia. He went to school and they spit on him. Yuck. But I'm living for Jesus. I'm not living for their approval. Because that makes a big difference. The one whose approval you're looking for will be the one you try to please. Make sense?
Yep. Yes.
And so we're pleasing God. We're pleasing God. We're living for Him. We're walking with Him. The presence of the Holy Spirit is in us. God has empowered you to overcome everything the enemy will throw at you, even people. Hello? You are not in bondage to any person, and you're not in subjection to their thoughts and things about you. You are subject to Christ. And you know something? He's a lot easier to please than any person you ever know, including the one talking to you. We okay? Anybody need that? If you don't need it, it's free. Go back with me to Philippians. I want to give you one more verse. And to me, this is probably my favorite verse in the Bible. I don't preach on it much because it's just too good to preach on. Verse number 20. Please look at this. According to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, now Christ also will be magnified in my body, whether by life or death. To Paul, it didn't matter. And how do we know it mattered? Because he said the next verse, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Paul wasn't concerned about longevity. Although most of the times longevity is okay until you get my age. He wasn't concerned about longevity. He was concerned about magnifying Jesus, exalting the King, praising Him. That word magnify, and I looked it up in the Greek today, is very interesting. It means to enlarge. Well, how in the world can we enlarge Christ? We enlarge Him in our view, and we enlarge Him in the view that people see of Him in our lives. Don't live with a little bitty God and a great big devil. Right. Hello?
Right.
Two of you can say amen. You know, people live that way. They live with a little bitsy, teeny, weeny God, and their devil is huge. And keep in mind, the devil knows where he is in your mind. And so Paul is saying this. And he kind of wrote Romans chapter 1. under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for the power of God unto salvation to all who believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I'm not ashamed. But Paul was thinking this as he came to the end of his life. In chapter 2, he talks about departing. Paul was concerned that all that he went through wouldn't turn him away from the prize. And that prize is an absolute beautiful life in Jesus Christ. His plan, his purpose, his goal was to live, really live with purpose and destiny until he died. And nothing that happened would sidetrack him from that prize. He says that. 2 Timothy chapter 4. He says, the time of my departure is at hand. That word departure is like a ship that is loose from the dock and it's just kind of sailing. He says, the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness that the righteous judge will give me on that day. And then he was thinking of us, but not to me only, but to all those who love his appearing. You know, there are times that we have to go through things to find the release and the freedom that God wants to show us. I understand we don't like some of these situations I've talked about. But to find the real victory and to find the real freedom in that situation, we go through them. And as we go through them, we're strengthened and we're encouraged. And the presence of God seems just to be so full of grace and mercy. And when we're done, we realize that it was beneficial for us to go through some things. That makes sense to anybody? And as we go through them, we don't like it. I understand that. But there's a freedom that's waiting that we need to realize. And then we can look back and we can say, God had faith enough in me to allow me to go through that. And going through that, I'm strong. And for any of us who've watched what's happening in America, we understand that there's a rising group of people who don't like Jesus. I'm not giving up on the country. I'm not saying the country's going to hell in a handbasket. I'm not going to quit praying for it. But I see a vital change in the attitude of the people that only revival and a group of people who are willing to stand for Jesus despite the cost and say, it doesn't matter if I live or die, I'm going to magnify Jesus. I want to be one of those. I want to be one of those. I believe with all my heart that God's grace is sufficient for whatever you're going through and whatever you face and whatever's coming against you. God's grace is more than enough. And you are more than conquerors. You are overcomers. You are God's masterpiece, according to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 10. You're His workmanship. He's placed in you the Holy Spirit. He's designed your life and a path to walk in. You cannot be overcome. You cannot. You're not victims, you're victors. No matter what's going around or about around you or in your family or in work, at work or wherever it is, you are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Amen. Doesn't mean you don't get hurt. It doesn't mean you don't cry. It doesn't mean that you don't look at things and say, boy, I sure wish they could come to Christ. They probably will. But the call on our lives is to be faithful to the Lord who called us. And you have the Holy Spirit within you who makes you faithful. I was reading this morning. I hate waking up at 5 with no chance of going back to sleep. Come on, all you people that got up at 9. Now, if Green Bay's winning, I can sleep. But, so I got up and came to the church, and as I came to the church and putting things together and putting some finishing touches, I get a call from a guy that I'm meeting with tonight, and I was looking in Acts. The disciples had just healed through the power of Jesus the lame man. Okay? He went walking and leaping and praising God, and I don't know, for some reason he caused a scene. If you're a Christian, don't ever cause a scene. You'll track the authorities. I'm joking. And they went before the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin says, you don't preach or teach in that name anymore. Okay? And Peter looked at him, being Peter, and said, whether it's right in your sight or not, we cannot but teach the things we've heard and seen. We got to talk about it. So they went back to their body. And their prayer was this: God, give us a boldness that we can speak this wherever basically we go. You know what God did? God gave them a supernatural event. That supernatural event shook the whole place. And then the Bible says that they spoke the word of God with boldness. Just maybe, each one of us need a supernatural event in our lives. And that supernatural event will drive out the fear and drive out the things that the devil's telling us. And we begin to just stand. And we know that God is with us because we've been touched with a supernatural event that had to come from heaven. And we realize, I'm not alone. I want you to understand, as you're taking a stand and threats and rejection and all this garbage comes against you, you're never alone. So I close with this. Don't think it abnormal. Don't think you've done something wrong. Don't think that God's turned his back on you when you face some opposition. You face the opposition because you're living right and you did something right. If you blend in with what the people want you to blend into, you'll face no opposition, but you'll have no life either. God trusts you at this hour of this day, in this time, to be a carrier of his message and his love and his mercy and his power. Doesn't mean everything will be great. It just means everything is great with God. It's amazing just to be led by the Spirit. Speak the words that he'll give you. And there'll be days somebody may walk in your office, or you may see in the shopping center, or you may see something, and God will give you a word for them, and that word will penetrate that hard heart because you've been faithful with what you've gone through. Amen?
Amen.
Stand with me, will you? I was coming out of the post office the other day. It's even hard to say. But somebody who absolutely hated me, just hated my guts. And I've had people tell me that. I'm not looking for sympathy. But this was such a blessing. Came up to the car. I was leaving. Walked up to the car. I rolled the window down. It was just like nothing had ever happened. They approached me. I didn't approach them. Just give God time to work before you close the book. Just give God an opportunity to make the change. Don't just write them off. Don't burn the bridge. Just demonstrate Jesus. Amen?